Well, we've got our guest in the store, in the little red caboose. This is WART 95.5. Thanks for tuning in. And John Horn has joined us now. I'm going to interview John. He is the manager of the Reclaim Madison store. Welcome, John. Hope it's not too early for you.
No, thanks, Jim. I woke up a little early.
As he rubs his eyes, the sleep out of his eyes. Thanks for coming in today.
No, thanks for inviting me.
Oh, you're welcome. So, you just told me you've been the manager for 4 months now at the Reclaim store, but a lot of people still probably don't know you in the community. A lot of people probably do, but could you give us a little background of maybe where you were born, your education, work history, maybe your family or a hobby or two?
Okay. Well, I was born in Biloxi, Mississippi on a Air Force military base. Huh. And just a few months after that, my family moved to Denver, and my little brother was born out there, and then we moved to Florida, out in Rockledge, stayed there for quite some time. My father worked at the Air Force base there, and...
So, kind of an army brat moving around a bit?
Yeah, and my parents divorced when I was a young age and remarried when I was still pretty young. Mm-hmm. So my father was in the Air Force and my stepfather was in the Army. And we kind of bounced between families who we're living mm-hmm. with. So we moved around like every 2 to 4 years.
Yeah.
Picking up, moving somewhere else, making new friends.
Kind of tough.
It was difficult, but it did make, let's just say, like, socially in my 20s, things were a lot easier for me than a lot of my peers, huh. because I had dealt with a lot of hardships around that uh-huh. to that point, so I actually would try to help friends, I wouldn't say counsel them, but help them through their tough times with their social situations.
Yeah.
Stuff that I had experienced from a young kid, you know. Especially when friends, you know, everyone gets out of high school. Friends move off. They go to the military. They go to college. People break up. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, good for you. How about your education? Obviously, you went to a whole bunch of different schools, I guess, moving around. Any college?
No. When I was in fifth grade, they had in the cafeteria a small orchestra set up, and they played, and something about the violin caught me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know what it was. I was just, like, it just, I don't know, tunnel visioned on it, and I just got goosebumps watching it, and when I got home, I bugged my mom for weeks and
to get a violin
and
isn't that cool?
Yeah, and after a while she surprised me by getting one, and
was it a big surprise?
Yeah, it was.
Really?
Because when I first became enamored by that, it settled on me pretty quickly just how expensive these things are.
Uh-huh.
So, and we didn't have a ton of money, so it was surprising for me. I mean, it was a wonderful surprise. And for 6 years, I studied classical violin and played in orchestras and played a bunch of different shows and venues and all sorts of places. And then when I was a junior in high school, I wanted to play in, you know, your typical band setup, rock band, you know.
Yeah.
So I saved up money to buy a guitar and started playing with some of my friends. And so in high school, I was doing a lot of that. And towards the end of high school, I was out playing shows. And at this time, I was living in Metro Atlanta in Lawrenceville.
Mm-hmm.
So I was playing a lot of shows in downtown Atlanta.
Rock shows. I mean, yes. Little rock concerts.
Yeah, I was in a... At that time, I was in a bunch of, like, punk bands, yeah. And I don't know, my mind was geared towards doing that and not going to college.
Yeah.
So that's all I wanted to do.
Making some money at that.
Very little. And that's the thing about...
Gas money, maybe.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that and a little bit of food money. But then you always have a band member that's willing to spend your money on drinks for the night. And then at the end of the night, you're actually... Well, we're supposed to make money, but you're actually paying. And that was just a typical scenario, rinse and repeat, all the way through my late 20s. Like, all they did was play in bands, hang out with friends. But, you know, once I got to my later 20s, I wanted to live close to... My younger brother's, like, my best friend. Uh-huh. And he lived in... At the time, in my late 20s, I was living in Central Florida out by Satellite Beach. Uh-huh. And he was living in Orlando. And... I wanted to go, you know, we talked about it. I wanted to go live with him, get a place together. And I was just so tired of when you play a show, staying up till 4 a.m, waiting to get paid and the late nights. And then after you get paid, you're like, okay, let's go home. I need to crash, get up and go to work in the morning. But then everyone thinks because you played a show that night, they get to come to your place and party till the sun comes up. And it's fun, man. But after like 10 years of that, it gets
well.
Old.
It sounds like you're lucky to be here.
Yeah,
and I'm sure some days were pretty, hectic and just dangerous, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, I did a lot of stupid things in my 20s, especially.
Don't like you just told me. Don't be too hard on yourself. It's passed, and you've grown, and you've... have you ever picked up the violin since?
No, I haven't, and it's sitting in my closet. The sound post is knocked out of it, and the chin rest isn't on there, because it's had a hard life since I haven't played it. But,
did you ever play the violin in the rock band?
No.
Saved it for more sedate stuff?
Yeah, I played... That's the thing. I played in a lot of loud and aggressive bands. It was like... punk bands, industrial bands, metal bands.
Yeah.
So
in the late 90s, early 2000s,
both. Yeah. And then up and into almost
you're
the 20s.
You're a pretty young guy.
Yeah.
What year were you born?
82.
Well, thanks for that recap on your life. That's a good thing. You've been the manager of the since it opened, the Reclaim Madison store. Tell us a little about that. How'd the opening go? How did the, first of all, give a little, basically a pat on the back, or how do you say it, for the original owner? That was who, of the coal feed and lumber store?
There were a few of them, but the latest one was, Jeff Riddle. Uh-huh.
And his dad ran the place, though.
Howard Riddle ran the coal feed and lumber store for a long, long time. I mean, that was the only job that guy ever had.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he worked there when he was, I think he got a job there when he was in his teens, like 15 years old. Just started off just working in the store, and then...
worked his way up to purchase it eventually.
Right. He owned the thing. And it's funny because I hear stories about this guy all the time. He knew where everything was in there. So you could come in and ask for the most obscure item. You could just kind of describe it and he would take you right to where it was. But when you went to check out, he would pull this giant, like almost trucker's wallet out of his back pocket. And you would pay with cash and he would give you... change out of his pocket. And that's kind of how he worked. And he always had like a pile of coins on the counter if anyone needed change. But he apparently, I've never met the guy, but I hear so many stories about how amazing of a person he was and how knowledgeable he was. But a lot of people, he still has a large respect from the community here.
Sure. I remember meeting him several times, not only as a shopper at the store, but later on in life, after his wife died, he kind of went downhill pretty quickly, within a few years at least, but he was up at the retirement center in Mars Hill, and just a wonderful guy with a lot of good stories, but So Jeff inherited the store and enabled you guys, the Community Housing Coalition, to purchase the store.
Yeah, well, we're renting it as of now, but we have plans in the future to purchase the building, and there's a lot of good things that we are looking forward to doing in the years to come with that building.
Yeah. I didn't know you were renting it. I thought it was, but you did purchase the inventory in there.
Yes, the old inventory, because after Howard passed away, I mean, his sons had their careers. They're working towards retiring.
Yeah.
And it's, no one had the time to really step away from what they had been building their life and then go into a hardware store and run the hardware store. So it kind of closed up as a time capsule where all the old stock just kind of sat there.
Mm-hmm.
And when we bought the stock and moved into that store, it was just like it was the last day of operation. The doors just closed up.
Well, Howard was, I believe, in his young 80s when he passed away. I'm not sure about that, but and that was, I don't know, 3 years ago or something like that, and then the store has been like a time capsule since that day. Tell us about the records that you found of his, that the stacks of books and that's kind of interesting stuff.
Yeah, we found going in the back, there was this back cubby hole. I don't know what else to call it. It was a small room that was probably only like little over five feet tall, but it went back about 12, 14 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Lining the shelves along the walls were all these record books that were probably 10 inches by 10 inches, and they were about, well, close to 10 inches high. They're just like a cube of receipts, hundreds and hundreds of receipts. And these receipt books were for all the transactions that happened in the coal feed and lumber store back to the late 40s. And we needed to make some room in there just because we're running out of space. We have so many donations coming in, which is a wonderful thing, but because of that, we need to keep clearing out some of the old stuff.
Uh-huh.
And there was talk about throwing away these receipt books, and I didn't feel quite right about that. So for about a week, I was making phone calls trying to figure out if these could be of use to anybody. And I eventually got a hold of the lead archivist of Western North Carolina, and she came by with her staff, and they collected a sampling of it, and which they'll use for an international database for economic studies for like college students and stuff.
That is so cool.
And
how prices have changed since the 40s, or
oh man,
I mean, you know, the data they can get garner out of those. I've seen the collection, and it's literally well, at least 50 books, right?
Well, that's what I had told her originally. She was like, how many do you have? And I was like, I think I have about 50 books. She goes, okay, so an extra large collection. Well, when a couple of volunteers, Grattan and Dave, helped me pull these things out, we found out that we had over 225 of these books.
Oh, really?
And Dave calculated that there was over 300,000 pages of receipts.
Wow.
So it, when she said, you know, you have an extra large collection for 50 books, I'm like, oh man, what is this? But she came by and she grabbed a few of them. And then we had a bunch of them left. And she was actually going to use the one she took also to kind of document a bit of Marshall's history in the mountain towns out here. Because a lot of that stuff does not get documented. It just kind of gets pitched and thrown away.
Mm-hmm.
But I was left with, you know, over 200 books and I didn't know what to do with them. And Angela Finney down at Outpost down there ended up buying those off of us to put into an art installation across the street from Grand Central Station in New York.
Hmm.
So they're going to have a second life to them.
Wow.
And it's I think it's going to be a permanent installation.
Oh, my gosh. Well, each book is about 8 inches or 10 inches thick.
Right.
And like you said, they're 10 inches tall and 10 inches wide or deep. But it is a real treasure trove for people interested in that stuff. Well, what time does the store open each day?
The store opens at 9 o'clock.
And uh-oh.
We're open until 4 o'clock. But we're looking to in the next several weeks to come to hopefully extend some of our hours and hopefully get a half day on Saturday.
Yeah. And you do have a bona fide hardware store.
Right.
As well as a salvage store for sinks and commodes and couches.
Floral pattern couches.
Floral pattern couches and plain couches. No, it's not just couches. You've got a lot of doors and windows and desks and a few cabinets, but not so. I haven't seen too many cabinets down there.
We got a bit in, and we kind of put them all up on the what we call the stage area.
Oh, yeah, okay.
For we did for Mayfest. But we have, I mean, it's just nonstop donations around here. It is amazing how much incredible stuff people have tucked away in barns and houses back here. Someone donated to us a few weeks ago a double stacked oven, brand new, in the box they were going to use but never ended up using it, and they're just like, we need to get rid of this, so they brought it over there. Those things retail for $1,600 to $2,200.
Jeez.
And
this is an electric modern oven,
right?
Yeah,
it's a double stack, so you know, Thanksgiving comes around, you get turkey in one and you put whatever else in the other. But we've had things like antiques, and you mentioned Ed Gein's birthday earlier, but we have a lampshade that's covered in animal hide.
Oh, really?
So it's well, some unique things.
Yeah, that trunk I delivered from a donor was pretty impressive. Almost 100 years old and very ornate with it's got some wear issues, but I mean, you're not going to take it to Antiques Roadshow, but it still is a fantastic looking trunk that can hold me practically. But you've got a bunch of volunteers.
Yeah, we have several volunteers that come through, and that's a thing. Like, Reclaim is operated by Community Housing Coalition, and Community Housing Coalition is driven by a lot of volunteers. We have staff, but a lot of the work that goes into neighbors helping neighbors and just with the clients overall, a lot of that is volunteer help. So we kind of have the same thing going on with Reclaim. We have a couple paid staff members, but we utilize the help of those in the community that want to help us to get this place to really thrive. People such as yourself, Jim, who come by and help us.
Moi?
Yeah. Which, Jim, you've been there since the beginning.
I've enjoyed working there. And pricing, I started out reducing the prices of the stock that was in there. And it was very rewarding, and enjoyed to see some of the dust get off the shelves and clean up the place a little bit. And now I'm doing some picking up of donations, but right now you kind of want to halt to that, don't you? Because you're trying to clear out some more space, and you're just getting kind of overrun with donations, aren't you?
We have so many coming. I want to say I get in between 3 to 6 phone calls a day of people asking me if I can come pick up stuff.
Yeah.
Which I wish I could take everything anyone needed to get rid of or wanted to donate, but
space is the problem.
Yeah, realistically, it's a good problem to have, and so many people have supported us that have given us so many wonderful things that we are slam packed. We are just absolutely packed. But if people come by with a donation and it's something that is in good condition and something we could sell and use to help the community, I'm not going to turn them away. But as it goes right now for going out and picking up donations, we kind of have to taper that off for the time being and come back to that in a little bit in the future when we can make some more room.
Well, it's good that you're not turning folks away when they bring it down, but I've been in there just last week, and it is cram-packed. So please, if you need a couch, there's a sale on them, I hear, today.
We have...
I just made that up, but there are several couches down there, and they take up really a lot of space, so it would be great if somebody could pick up some good couches. They're really in pretty good shape.
Right, and we have some pull-out couches, too. And that's the thing with a lot of those couches, because they do take up a lot of space, it's a lot of those. It's, if someone comes by and they make me an offer on one, you know, we'll definitely consider that and try to find something that works out mutually for all of us. But I definitely will sell couches cheap at this point because we got so many of them. And as a customer, realize that every dollar you spend at Reclaim, all our profits go back to Community Housing Coalition. And all those dollars stay in this community and they help low-income families with unsafe living conditions get their homes repaired at no cost to them. So there are a lot of people out there that they're not living in the best of conditions with their home and they need help, and the dollars that go into Reclaim help them get that fixed.
Well, that's what the Community Housing Coalition is all about. Their mission is to keep people in their own homes. And if you've got a leaky roof, or if you've got a dangerous deck or staircase leading up to your trailer or your mobile home or your house, that's what Community Housing Coalition does. They have monthly work sessions where they'll go out and repair homes, and it's a great nonprofit in Madison County, and they're always busy. In the summertime, it's real busy with the church groups coming down from the north and joining up with the CHC to really knock out some of these major issues with houses. But their main goal is to keep people in their own homes. I've worked a couple of work sessions, and it's rewarding and it's gratifying. So if you want to, if you can hammer a nail, or you know, pick up trash, or just you know, do anything, Community Housing Coalition will help you out. Christopher Brown and Watson and Whitney and Stephanie all do a great job at keeping people in their homes. Anything else I'm missing there?
No, and that's another thing with not only Reclaim. If you want to volunteer and help out with Reclaim, stop by and talk to me. We can always use the help, and same with community housing when we do Neighbors Helping Neighbors. That's how I got started with community housing, is I went out and helped volunteer helping with clients' homes, and found out that 5 hours of my day on a weekend changed this person's life forever and made a huge positive impact on them. Community housing could always use help with those. So if you want to volunteer for that, check out the website, give them a call, and just sign up on the volunteer list.
Well, it makes a huge difference in their lives that they can stay in a repaired roof or a repaired staircase. But it's also gratifying. It was gratifying to me.
Same here.
It was I got a very good positive feeling out of volunteering at the Neighbors Helping Neighbors sessions that I went to. I've been on a couple of them, and it's been a while. I need to go on another one pretty soon. But I think there were, 30 people there at the two places I went, 30 volunteers to help this couple out stay in their mobile home that had some a deck that was damaged. And it was rewarding for me.
Well, not only is it rewarding in the way that, you know, you feel you've made a positive impact.
Right.
But those that don't know how to do certain type of construction skills, you can learn them there. There are contractors that are very skilled and professional. They've been doing it for years, and they can show you the steps and what to do and how to do it, and you'll be able to be more sufficient in your own home repairs if you need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jake is a master at organizing. At least he was the contractor, I guess you'd say, when I went out, and he was a master at helping me out. But it's a very rewarding thing. So the store is open 9 to 4 Monday through Friday.
Yes, sir.
No weekend hours.
Not as of yet, like I was saying, hopefully in the weeks to come we can get at least a half day on Saturdays.
Yeah. How many volunteers have you had at the Reclaim store?
In total, we've probably had...
Besides myself.
Right. We've probably had, just guessing off the top of my head, over a dozen folks.
Oh, yeah?
That have helped.
Well, that's good. And it's rewarding there too, because you know all the proceeds are going to the Community Housing Coalition and a good cause. There is another section to the building itself that is empty, and that's still a possibility of being included in the reclaim store?
Yes. Right now we're not trying to bite off too much.
Yeah.
Starting off.
Yeah.
But we do have plans for that other space over there. And once we can get into there, we will have... Space won't be an issue like it is now. We'll be able to organize things a little better and take more donations and hopefully get some bigger high dollar items in there. Like there's a volunteer that wants to donate a tractor. But where do you put that? So we'll hopefully it'll give us some room to put larger items.
Can you put a tractor up there? Is there a ramp that goes off the street?
We'll have to think that one over. I'm not even sure.
Tarps work well too, you know, over a tractor.
Just well, park it.
This
at the
is this the store, the reclaim store, is directly across the street, not Main Street, but the side street from the post office in Marshall, and it's an easy place to get to. There's plenty of parking nearby most days. And if you have something to donate, try to hold off for a little while until John Horn gets rid of some of the stuff or sells some of the stuff. Two big stoves, one on top of the other, a double stove, I guess they call it, and a double oven, rather. I said it's stove. I meant oven. You said it sells for $1,600 to $2,200. What would you sell that for?
We have it marked at $600.
Oh, really? Well, think of that, folks. I mean, we're talking, if you go to Lowe's and buy this double oven, I mean, we're talking big doors that fold down on the top and the bottom, and it is brand new, never been used, and they're $1,600 bucks, and Reclaim Madison's selling it for $600. You know, the prices, especially in the salvage stuff that is given there, has been donated, is really inexpensive and very reasonable. I brought in a, what was that? It's a glider,
yes.
A little seat, you know, that on porches or down by a park you might sit in. It looks like a bench seat, but it's a glider. It swings back and forth, real comfortable thing. You let that go for how much?
$25.
Come on, John. I could have, that would have been nice on my patio or my deck. But, you know, we're talking 1960s or 70s vintage, but in good shape. It glided very well. Anyways, John, anything else you want to mention about Reclaim? You've done a good job so far.
Right, we're. I wanted to let people know that we have our. Let me check here. Make sure I get the date right.
You're going to be closed for Labor Day, right?
We'll be closed for Labor Day and coming October 17th for the third Thursday of October, we will be having our grand opening.
One of the third Thursday events.
Yes, sir. And we plan on having a lot of new hardware in the place. I recently went to Chicago over the past weekend, a couple days prior to that, to a trade show for our hardware supplier to an 800,000-foot display room. Like, almost 1 million square feet of hardware. It was,
that's almost the size of Reclaim Madison, isn't it?
I wish. But yeah, so we're going to have a bunch of new hardware in there. We've been listening to the community's needs of what people need and want here and don't want to have to travel to Weaverville for. So we've got a list compiled of things we're going to order. And also, the hardware supplier's letting us know things that sell in this area and stuff that should be in the store that we need to get in.
Yeah.
But during the grand opening, we're going to have, we'll be open from 9:00 in the morning till 8 p.m. at night.
Yeah.
And from 4 to 8, we're going to have events at the store, such as, silent auction,
Oh, cool.
You have cool items that have been donated, some antiques and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. One of them being possibly a grandfather clock that someone donated.
Oh, really?
And we'll just be having different events and fun things going on there.
Uh-huh. So the grand opening is October 17th?
17th.
Well, we'll look forward to that. Well, John, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
I just pulled this song up, and we'll play it from Trini Lopez, folks. We're talking old time here, If I Had a Hammer. How about that? Pretty apropos. Pretty silly, but that's the way it goes around here. Thanks a lot, John.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay.